perversion going on. And God looks at it and says, yeah, that's unnatural. That's wrong. That's not my will. But what led to that moral decay?
This is Straight Talk.
Welcome to Straight Talk Radio. My name is Joshua Halleck. I'm your host here with Pastor Mark Jobe from New Life Community Church. Pastor Mark, you pastor in a world-class city here. Our city has shown up on the presidential debates and as being a violent place, and there are people of faith out there wondering if their prayers can make any difference in a city like this. What do you say?
You know, I believe that prayer has the power to change the destiny of many people's lives. Never underestimate when people really get together to pray. And this passage about Abraham today that we're going to look at reminds me that Abraham's prayer actually moves the hand of God. He's negotiating with God, and God loves to look at the faith of one man and change things around. Even in Chicago, Joshua, I'm really excited to be a part of a prayer movement. We call it Pray Chicago. And there's prayer gatherings happening even right now for the city of Chicago. You may have heard over the last year and a half, gathering together. Sometimes the last one was at Moody, Torrey Gray Auditorium. But thousands of believers that are participating in this, believing that as we pray, we can actually make a difference. And so I want to encourage you, if you're in a situation that seems really, really hard, never underestimate the power of faithful prayer.
Have you seen that? Have you seen God's hand move in Chicago as people have prayed?
I have seen it in powerful ways. I have seen gangbangers come to Christ. I have seen violent people turn their life around, surrender their weapons. I have seen there's still a lot more to do. There's still so much more that we have to see done. But I have seen literally hundreds of people's lives changed around and transformed by the power of prayer.
And that's really what this message is all about, the power of spiritual influence, learning how to seek after God, get involved, believe that you're a part of the solution that God wants to bring about if you would pray. And Abraham teaches us that lesson in Genesis chapter 18 today. It's called The Power of Spiritual Influence. Let's get right into the text.
I believe that as God scans the globe, there are certain things that set off the alarm of God. And God looks, as he looks throughout the globe, there are alarm that sound, and God knows there's a problem in a certain area as those spiritual alarms are set off. You say, well, who's setting off those alarms? Well, listen, look at what it says in James chapter 5, verse 4. It says, behold, listen to this, behold, the pay of the laborers who mowed your fields and which has been withheld by you. In other words, the pay of those that have worked for you, but you haven't paid them what's right, or you haven't paid them their paycheck, their pay cries out against you. Whose pay? Their paycheck's crying. Their paycheck is saying, hey, God, not paying me enough. Some of you are saying, wow, I think my paycheck's crying out too. It says, and the outcry of those who did the harvesting has reached the ears of the Lord of the Sabbath. In other words, the injustice of people being abused and not given proper wages or being withheld, that injustice rises before the throne of God and sets off an alarm that says injustice is happening here. I remember in Genesis chapter 4, verse 10, Cain and Abel, the sons of Adam and Eve. Remember when Cain killed Abel? In Genesis 4:10, it says, your brother's blood cries out to me from where? From the ground. It doesn't say your brother's crying. He was dead. It says his blood, that red blood that spilt on the ground has a voice. And it cries out to God Almighty, hey, injustice is happening here. Wow, you know what this tells me? It tells me that anywhere in the world where injustice is happening, anywhere where people are being abused, anywhere where people are being oppressed, anywhere where there is a lack of justice happening, where people are being, where violence is being perpetrated against people, where injustice is rampant, it tells me that it is sending alarms, signals up to God Almighty. And though no one on earth may know or cry out to God, God still knows and God still cares, and it gets the attention of God. You say, well, our politicians aren't doing anything about it. God knows. You should have seen what happened in our neighborhood. It's a travesty that this has happened. Hey, God knows and He hears and He cares. Because there's not one injustice that happens on the face of this earth that doesn't cry out to God Almighty. Do you see that little black box beside our screen up here? 235. That means that there's some kid in the nursery crying, and one of you mothers is here and you have a tag that says 235. Now, I know you're not going to get up now. You're going to say, I'm not getting up now. But what it means is that there's a baby crying or a child crying, and there's an alarm system going off basically saying, hey, mom, please come get your baby, because this baby's really crying a lot. That's what it's saying. In the same way, when injustice happens, it arises before God, and God said, I'm going to go check it out. Just like a mother goes to the nursery and says, I'm going to check out what's happening with my baby. An alarm has gone up. I'm going to check it out. The Bible says that the Lord said, I'm going to go, that I will go down and see if what has been done is as bad as the outcry that has reached me. If not, I will know. God says, I'm going to check out Sodom and Gomorrah. All these red lights are flashing. All these signals, all these alarms are going out. And I'm going to go check out to see what's really happening in Sodom and Gomorrah. You see, it reveals the heart of God. And I believe that we as the people of God, we need to be concerned about injustice. Amen? And it tells us, in this passage, I asked myself this question, well, what in the world was setting off so many alarms? I mean, what was going on in Sodom that was so bad? What was going on there that was so evil, so bad, that God Himself had to come check it out? Well, I bet that if I would do a survey here, most of you, you'd say, I know what was going on. I mean, don't we get the word sodomize from Sodom? That gives you a little idea, right? And that's where it comes from. And you remember in chapter 19 when the angels, the two men as strangers, went there. Lot saw him, received him into their house. And the men of the town, it says, went and knocked on Lot's door. And they said, hey, could you bring out those two good-looking men out here? Because basically it says, because we want to rape them. I mean, they wanted to gang rape these two strangers. These two men were accosted by the men of the town who said, bring them out here. Because we want to sexually know them. He said, what kind of perverse, wild, crazy town was Sodom? I mean, no wonder God wanted to eliminate it. And this is about the time you want to get on your little high horse and say, yeah! Of course, let's get all those gays and homosexuals. Man, no wonder God wanted to come out against them. Well, hold on a second. Hold on. Yeah, the Bible does tell us that was part of the problem. In fact, in Jude chapter 1, verse 7, it says, in a similar way, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns gave themselves up to sexual immorality and perversion. They serve as an example of those who suffer the punishment of eternal life. Yeah, there was a lot of sexual perversion going on there. And yeah, there was violent sexual perversion going on in Sodom. And it drew the wrath of God. But hold on a second. Before you get on a that's why God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, because they had all these homosexuals, and that's why the wrath of God. Hold on a second and read the real sin of Sodom and Gomorrah. Notice what it says in Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 49 through 50. It says, now this was your sin, speaking to Sodom and Gomorrah. This was the sin of your sister Sodom. What was the sin? She and her daughters were overfed and unconcerned. They did not help the poor and the needy. They were haughty and did detestable things before me. Therefore, I did away with them as you have seen. Whoa, wait, what happened? Oh, yeah, there was sexual perversion going on. And God looks at it and says, yeah, that's unnatural. That's wrong. That's not my will. But what led to that moral decay? Well, he tells us here that what led to that moral decay was that they were overfed and unconcerned. What does that mean? It means that they had prospered materially. They had done well financially. And they were overfed. That means they had everything that they wanted. They were overfed. They had all their toys. They had all their supplies met. They had all their needs met. And in their materialism and in their overfed condition, they were unconcerned about the poor people surrounding them. In other words, it was all about them. And they did not help the poor and the needy. In fact, not only did they not help the poor and the needy, but they tried to take advantage of the poor and the needy. The two strangers that walked in, they were strangers in the town. They tried to take advantage of them. And it says, and they were haughty, which means they were proud. And then they did detestable things before me. What was the real sin of Sodom and Gomorrah? The real sin of Sodom and Gomorrah was that they were proud, overfed, they didn't help the poor and the needy, it was all about themselves, and they did detestable moral things before the eyes of the Lord. Wow, did that hit a little closer to home? Well, what happened to this all? Yeah, get them, God! Smash them, Lord! Well, what about you and I? Have you ever gotten a little well-to-do and kind of pass by the poor and the needy and say, well, you know, they deserve it. They're lazy. I have time for those people. I got my own issues. Unconcerned. Haughty. God said, you know what? The cry came up before me. Let me tell you about moral perversion. You see, ultimately, in a lot of societies, moral perversion has come in. For example, in the Roman culture, that the Romans reigned for about 1,000 years, and they became very powerful, very strong, and very wealthy. And you know what? Immorality and perversion was a huge thing in the days where the Roman Empire was big. Homosexuality was rampant, but so was orgies and wife swapping and all kinds of other things. Why? Because when we get so filled on ourselves, we start looking for other ways to fill ourselves. Other extra things to fill ourselves.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to our Straight Talk radio message called The Power of Spiritual Influence, which is from Pastor Mark Jobe's series called Don't Stop Believing. After the broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Genesis, chapter 19, and our message is called The Power of Spiritual Influence.
In every culture where moral perversion, and not just homosexuality, but all kinds of perversion, and pedophiles and swapping this and all kinds of, by the way, we live in a country today where the porno industry is huge, multi-billion dollar industry. God says he looked and he heard the cries out because there were needy and poor people being neglected while they were feeding themselves and having their time. And God says that his heart was broken, and so judgment came towards them. Now you say, well, Pastor, man, that's pretty hard. So God just kind of was ready to wipe them out? I mean, really, I thought God was a loving God. Oh, he is. But can I tell you something about God? You can't just zone in on one aspect of God or you'll get a distorted picture of who God is. I want you to know that John tells us that God is love. And yes, he is. He is love. That means that he has this incredible patience and loving kindness towards us. But you know, the Bible that says that God is love also says that our God is a consuming fire. And the God and the Bible that says that our God's loving kindness is everlasting also tells us that God is a just God and a holy God. You see, you can't just take one aspect of God and think that that's all of God. God is multidimensional, and his holiness is balanced by his love, and his mercy is balanced by his judgment, and God is multidimensional, and you can't just see one aspect of God. You have to see every aspect of God. Listen, you would never realize how much you need a Savior until you understand that God is holy. You see, some people don't think they need a Savior because it's, well, God is love. He'll understand. Oh, God understands. He understands. We're all going to make it into heaven because God is love. Well, that's not what the Bible tells us, though. It does say that God is love, but God is also just. And God is so holy that no sin, listen, God is so morally pure and holy that no sin, not one, can stand before him and live. You can't have one sin on your life and go to heaven and stand before an almighty God. Not one. You say, well, I've been really, really good. I mean, you should see my neighbor. Man, compared to my cousin, I'm like a walking angel. You know, if you were out of the 100 people on my block, I would say I'm in the top 1% of goodness. Well, that's great. Let's say we chalk up one sin a day of your life. Let's see, 365 days a year. How old are you now? About 40. Hey, we're up there in several thousand sins. You say, well, that's pretty good, isn't it? Yeah, if you're comparing yourself to other people. But how about if zero is the tolerance? Where does that put you if you say, hey, God, I only got like 40,000 sins? I mean, it's not in the millions. Can I like squiggle into heaven? And God says, no, there's no sliding scale. It's like the measure is perfection. And you say, Pastor, then who in the world is ever going to make it to heaven? Well, that's exactly why we need Jesus. You see, because it is Jesus who takes on the penalty of our sin. And it's Jesus who says, I take on their penalty by grace. And I wash away their sin, because when you come to Jesus, he washes away your background. And when you stand before God, there is not one sin, not one, that is upon your life that can keep you from coming to God's presence. And the beautiful thing about this is he washes our sin past, present, and future. Hallelujah. You know, let me tell you why. If not, you'd always be worrying about dying without a confessed sin. Well, Pastor, what if I just like gave a little lie and then got struck by lightning? I mean, then would I go to hell? No. Past, present, and future. That's what Jesus does. Wow. You say, well, that makes me feel good now. I can live however I want. No, you got it all wrong now. Because let me tell you, when you know you've been forgiven and you know what God has done, it drives you to want to live for him. It's his grace that leads us to repentance. And so we see the heart of God. And by the way, every time you see judgment, you always see mercy. Remember Nineveh? Jonah wanted God to send fire from heaven and destroy him. Do you remember the disciples when they were walking with Jesus? And there were some people that didn't want to listen. They said, hey, Jesus, you want us to call fire from heaven? So like us. Hey, Jesus, don't worry. We'll take care of it right now. Who didn't want to listen to you, Jesus? Hey, we'll call fire from heaven. And Jesus said, get behind me. I mean, that's not what I'm about. I'm about mercy. I'm about love and patience and, And I only bring judgment when I have no other option, when my mercy has been exhausted, and when the cry of injustice is so strong that I can do no other thing but bring judgment. But I will give mercy upon mercy. The Bible says that God is patient and loving kindness, that he desires that none should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of the truth. And like in the days of Noah, he waits and he calls and he beckons and he wants. God's looking for an excuse to show mercy. And I believe that that leads me to our third point, that God is moved by the prayers and petitions of faith-filled people. Look what it says in verse 22. Then the men, the two other angels beside the Lord, they turned away and went toward Sodom. But Abraham remained standing before the Lord. I love this. The two other guys go on, and the Lord's about to go to Sodom, and Abraham sort of stands in front of him. I kind of picture it like this. The Lord moves over there, and Abraham goes, Lord, I don't want to hold you very long, but I got something to say to you. It says, then Abraham approached him and said, hey, Lord, will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? I love this about God, that he stops and listens to Abraham. Why? Because Abraham was a friend of God, because he had faith. Now we go into this negotiation. Abraham is actually negotiating with God. Why? Because a family member was involved. I mean, this was close and dear to Abraham. This wasn't just some town out there. His nephew and his nephew's wife and kids and daughters were there. And so Abraham says, hey, God, what if there's 50 righteous people in the city of Sodom? Will you really sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of 50 righteous people? I mean, far be it from you to do such a thing, to kill the righteous with the wicked, treating the righteous and the wicked alike. Far be it from you. Will not the judge of all the earth do right? You think God would say, Abraham, step aside. But I love God's response to Abraham. The Lord said, if I find 50 righteous people in the city of Sodom, I will spare the whole place for their sake. Wow. I mean, he's negotiating with Abraham. You say, well, can we do that? Of course we can. I mean, he's not the first to do it. Do you remember, and jot this down, you don't have to look it up in your Bible, but jot this down, Exodus chapter 32, verse 14. Moses is entreating God because God's about to wipe out the whole people of Israel because he's had enough. And Moses comes before God and he entreats him and he begs for their mercy. And this is what it says in Exodus 32, 14. So the Lord changed his mind about the harm which he said he would do to his people. What? Pastor Mark, are you telling me that God changed his mind because someone prayed? Exactly, that's what I'm telling you. I'm telling you that God, someone prayed and God said, because you prayed, I changed my mind. He said, you mean God can actually change his mind because there's people that pray? Exactly. Well, does that mean that God was going to do something wrong in the first place? No, that means that he allowed mercy instead of what was just. I hear people say sometimes, hey, I wish God was just so just. This is not just. I wish God would treat me in a just way. Oh, no, you don't. Oh, no, you don't. You don't want justice. You want mercy. Believe me. Because if God were just, we'd all be in a heap of trouble. The people deserved to be wiped out, but God was looking for an excuse to show mercy. And when he found Moses, who was willing to entreat, he gave mercy. James chapter 5, verse 17 says, the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. I love what it says in Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30 through 31. This is what God says. Listen to the heart cry. And I searched for a man. Now, this is generic. It could be man or woman. I searched for a person among them who should build up the wall and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. God is saying, I was looking for someone to stop me. I was looking for someone to intercede. I was looking this for someone to say, hey, God, don't do it. But I found no one.
This was our message entitled The Power of Spiritual Influence, which is part 8 in our series called Don't Stop Believing, The Power of Relentless Faith. As I mentioned earlier, if you would like to have a copy of this message or the entire series, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will also find helpful tools that will help you in your walk with God. If you prefer to have a CD of the message, please contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping, and Pastor Mark's first book, Unstuck, is also available for only $10 plus shipping. If you are looking for a home church, we invite you to check out one of our 25 New Life locations throughout Chicagoland. Just log on to newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We would really love to meet you. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark, our Straight Talk team, and myself for the evening. Thank you so much for listening. Please do join us on the next edition of Straight Talk as we continue on in our series called Don't Stop Believing. Have a great night. God bless.